All right. So today I'd like to conclude John chapter 9. Some of you are like, thank God we're finishing off this passage. And I'm like, yes, because I think this is an amazing end to the passage. Let's turn to John chapter 9, verses 35, and read what happens here. We're just going to go to verse 38. John 9, 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" You see, he's talking to the blind man that he had just healed. The blind man was kicked out of kind of the synagogue. The Pharisees were very unhappy with his testimony. And so Jesus is saying, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. As we're well aware, Jesus is just, he healed a blind man that was at the temple gates begging for money. And this healed man then was forced to give a testimony before the leaders of the synagogue. And I guess in a moment that should not be shocking to those familiar with the leaders of that time, they rejected this man's testimony in all of its truth and all of its fact. So the now healed man is rejected by his family, by his friends, and by his church at this time. And by church, I mean the temple. So this healed man is obviously feeling dejected. And you would have to assume that in this moment, he would be feeling pretty worthless. I know I would feel that way if everyone that I valued and held high in high esteem pushed me away and in a sense declared that I was unworthy to react to them. All you have to do at times is just remember how it feels when someone rejects you and you're like, "Ooh, I don't feel so good about this." As sad as it is, there is a moment of hope in this story. As this rejected and unwanted individual is not as rejected and unwanted as he seems. You see, it's at this point of the story that we see a man who Jesus desires to be around, and he desires to show love. Look at what it says in John 9:35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he had found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" So Jesus hears that this man has been excommunicated and pushed away, and his immediate reaction is to seek him out. It is to pursue him. And he asks him a question. This man who had just had physical healing is about to receive the healing of the soul. And so I ask, is this something that you need today, is healing of the soul? Are you feeling rejected? Are you feeling cut off from others? Are you feeling cut off from God? Or maybe you're the one that has pushed everyone else away. Maybe you have low self-worth or shame has its grip on you. Maybe you've convinced yourself that hope is lost and God would never give you grace or shine his love upon you. These are true emotions and feelings that people have. But if you're feeling like that, if you're a person with feelings and emotions and a physical body, then there is a great question for you, and it is a question that you must answer. You must. And this is a question by which God can do you good. When we look at our story and see this question in verse 35, we need to understand that Jesus asked this question with a purpose in mind. Look at what has transpired between these two. To start off with, the once blind man was healed without even asking for it. And then after that, everything has transpired in all this commotion that occurred with the Pharisees and the leaders and the parents and everything like that. Jesus finds this rejected individual, even though this individual was not looking for Jesus. And in this time, Jesus asks a question that requires a great leap for the healed man as it will advance his faith. In John 9:11, he knew Jesus by name. Remember this? The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes, so he knows his name. He understands that Jesus is a prophet. John 9:17, he says he is a prophet. He understands that Jesus is from God. John 9:33, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. So this man knew all of that. But he still did not know all that Jesus intended for him to know. As Jesus asked the healed man this question in verse 35, and it would lead to this man worshiping Jesus. Are you ready for this question? Do you believe in the Son of Man? This question brings about good in the healed man, and it is a question that aims to do good in you this morning. Ask yourself this question now in this very moment as you sit here. Do you believe in the Son of Man? This is the most important question you will ever be faced with. And here's why this question is so important. It's because it concerns salvation. It concerns your salvation. It concerns my salvation. Look at how John has given us a clear picture as to what has happened with Jesus and this blind beggar. So Jesus returns to this man whom he had healed physically and he'd given him sight. But through all of that, there is intellectual head knowledge that this man had received. And all you have to do is look at the interaction between the healed man and the Pharisees to know that that has occurred. Look at how he defends Jesus and points towards facts and towards truth. So Jesus helps in a very physical, real way for this man, and he helps with intellectual revelations on top of that. But these areas of helps are insignificant and less important when compared to the salvation that this man spiritually is given by Jesus. Jesus asks this man the question in verse 35 as he is moving the head knowledge and the heart knowledge into a spiritual knowledge. Jesus is moving the blind man's healed faith and is leading him to trust, to believe, and to have faith in Jesus Christ, as Jesus is the only one who freely gives salvation to those who choose to believe in him. And I promise you that this question is still relevant for each and every one of us today. Of course, there are great things of amazing importance in our lives, and some of those things, they have kind of a worldly influence desire. But no thing measures up to knowing Jesus Christ in the matter of your salvation. Do you believe in Jesus? This is what the Bible says about worldly wants. Mark 8:36. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Do you believe in the Son of Man? You're going to hear that question a lot today. Here is the thing about this question. It concerns the only way of salvation. And yes, only was emphasized there. Many people believe that there are many pathways to heaven. All you have to do is talk to people on the street and just, what do you think about what's going to happen to you when you're going to pass on from this life? And they're like, oh, easy, you know, I'm going to go to heaven. And they'll give you a listing off of things as to why they're going to go to heaven if that's something that they believe in. And most of it is going to revolve around this concept of being morally good, or the fact that they've served others in some capacity, or even that they've performed certain rituals within their time. I'll tell you this right now, that this is not true. Humanity cannot become right before God through many different ways, as the only way to become right before God is through Jesus Christ alone. John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It is only because of who Jesus is that salvation is given and that sinners are saved. Only through Jesus. Jesus is God, and being God, he is able to die for an infinite number of sins. He does what no mere man is capable of. Salvation is by him, through him, in him, and of him. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. In Christianity, salvation is something that is achieved by Jesus, not through acts you and I have done, but through Jesus alone. And Jesus is the center of Christians' beliefs and doctrines. No other religion has any individual at the center of it like Christianity. For instance, when Buddha, just prior to his death, was asked by his followers how best they should remember him, Buddha replied that they were not to trouble themselves with that question. Boy, that's kind of interesting, hey? As there's these little gold, fat-bellied guys in a lot of restaurants we see nowadays. They are not to trouble themselves with the question of remembering him. He was saying it did not matter if he was remembered or not, as his teaching is what mattered. His teachings had the characteristics nearly of a truth of science, which exists apart from the one who discovers it. But Jesus pointed men and women to himself. John 9:35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" 1 Corinthians 11:24-25, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." We almost need to kind of think of this and be like, what would happen if Buddha had approached this poor blind guy? It probably would have gone down something like this. He would have spoken to the man about the details of life having zero importance. The important thing is peace of mind, so detach yourself from the details of life so you can begin attaining the divine life. Or maybe we want to put a more modern spin on that as a Christian or a pastor approached the blind man. And there's a good chance that in the moment of seeing the healed guy, they would probably try and counsel him in that moment. Be getting that question of like, how did that make you feel? I want to state this. There's nothing wrong with counseling. I fully promote counseling. I highly recommend that everybody actually goes to counseling, regardless of your emotional state, regardless of your physical state. But I think when that becomes the central aspect of the church versus proclamation of God's word, that's when we get in big trouble. Instead of evangelizing, we're choosing to talk about each other's emotions and feelings, instead of saying Jesus is the way to salvation. We see that Jesus was concerned with this man's salvation. And he knew this man's salvation was dependent on the man's understanding of who he is. And the pending relationship between Jesus and this healed man, it was just, that's what Jesus was concerned about. Just as we should be concerned about one another's relationship status with Jesus as we all gather together here as a church. So Jesus asked this question, and we should reflect this on ourselves all the time. Do I believe in the Son of Man? Because this question concerns your salvation, and it concerns your belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and the sole means of salvation. Look at what has happened. For this man, and Jesus still says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" We could possibly assume that this blind, healed guy, he would believe in the Son of Man at this point in time. Could we not? That would only be fair to assume that. Because this man was kicked out of the synagogue. He was excommunicated for Jesus' just defense. But the thing is that no experience will ever eliminate the need to answer that question. Yes, the blind man was healed by Jesus. And yes, he acted out of obedience to Jesus. Because remember, he was begging at the temple gates as Jesus came by, and Jesus made clay from the dirt and the ground, and he rubbed it in his eyes. John 9:7, this is what Jesus said to him. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. What an act of obedience. And his act of obedience led him being able to see. In this portion of Scripture, do we read of hesitation in his act of obedience? No, John does not tell us of hesitation. It could have happened. He could have been disappointed in having to walk all the way to the pool of Siloam in his blindness with mud all over his face. We're not told of that, however. But we can read in the Bible in 2 Kings of one who hesitates in obedience. A man named Naaman, he was afflicted by leprosy. And the prophet Elisha is like, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman was thinking about going there, he's like, oh, gross. I don't want to wash in that river. I want to go wash in these other rivers. And in 2 Kings 5:12, he says this, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Boy, that's a pretty bold move if you ask me. Somebody who's like told to go wash and cleanse themselves so they can get rid of their leprosy. And they're like, no, that water is too gross for me. I'm going elsewhere, even though God has commanded us to do that. Naaman would later come back and wash himself 7 times after he was confronted by men of God. And it is very clear that he hesitated. But from what we can tell in John 9, this blind guy, he went with no hesitation. He acted out of obedience, and yet Jesus still returns to him and asks the question, do you believe in the Son of Man? Didn't his actions just display this? Come on, Jesus. His actions did. But the question still needed to be asked. Just as it needs to be asked of you and me today. Because lots of people are faithful to Jesus and to his commands. But he still wants an answer to the question. No religious tasks or ceremonies, no matter how well done they are, can possibly save you. Jesus is the only way to salvation. And you must believe in Jesus. This blind man's experience throughout life, it still left him short of being righteous. This is a man who was born blind, and through Jesus' touch, he's given sight. We would think to ourselves, would it be possible for him to forget about darkness? This is a man that lived through literal darkness his entire life up until his healing. So he had darkness as a teen, darkness as an adult, darkness as a child. But in this moment, he is healed before Jesus. Light that he had never before known is now streamed down upon him and a part of his world. This is a drastic change in his life. I kind of have to laugh at that because change is just hard for anyone to grasp. I wonder if he would be upset at times about having this new change in his life and how his day-to-day operations would change. I guess he would, because he just got kicked out of his family, his like community, for having this change. But this man is experiencing life anew. And he goes through all of this, all of his life, just knowing this darkness and finally discovering life. And Jesus still asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Even today, some people feel as though their experience of life and of the church has led them down a path of salvation. You know, I fully understand that there's value in our past experience and like those things that remind us of how great things were in the past. I know that those are great. They're great reminders of our journey with Jesus. But if it is only about our past experience and not about Jesus, then you are doing and thinking about the wrong things. Experiences do not save. Jesus saves, and only Jesus. Do you believe in him? We also see that the blind guy was courageous in his testimony and at this kind of broken hearing that he had with these Jewish leaders, he boldly proclaimed truth and fact. And even though he had great testimony, he still needed to answer the question, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He gave all that he knew about Jesus in the testimony. It was grounded in fact and well supported by evidences, including his neighbors, including his parents. In fact, it was so well supported, his case, by fact and evidence, that the Pharisees were left confounded and they were divided among one another. And in spite of this testimony, Jesus still approaches the blind man and asks him the question of whether he believed in the Son of Man or not. So this question is still a question for everybody within this church to answer, regardless of how long you've been here or how short it's been, regardless of how old you are or how young you are. It's for pastors, it's for interns, it's for elders, it's for Sunday school teachers, it's for youth workers, musicians, parents, grandparents, children. It's literally for everybody. Do you believe in the Son of God? And I pray that your answer would be an answer of positive affirmation. That is what we need to hear in these days. And then we see that in this man's experience, not only was he doing all these great things, he had great testimony, he had great experience, he had life-changing events, but he also suffered on behalf of Jesus. And after giving his testimony about Jesus, he was thrown out of the synagogue. He was dejected at this time. And here's the beautiful part. Jesus found him. And even though he had just suffered and he had just done all this stuff on behalf of Jesus, he was still asked the question by Jesus, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" So my question for you today is, do you believe? Today, Jesus wants you to say, "Yes, I believe in you. I believe you died for my sin, and I place my faith in you for salvation." Please, Lord, regardless of how long we've attended church, maybe 1 month, maybe 20 years, allow our hearts today to be open to you, to allow your Holy Spirit in and say, "Today, I believe." Because I want you to understand why this question is so important. And know this, if you do not face this question now, you will face this question later. And it is a question that cannot be avoided, as the nature of the question itself makes it unavoidable. The answer is simple, as it must be a yes or a no. Maybe is actually a no. A delayed response is also a no. And to not answer in its entirety is a no. If you have heard the question, you must answer it. And in the day of judgment, you will have no choice but to answer it. And the answer itself is the basis for God's judgment. Do you believe in Jesus? Pray that you answer it now, as the question, it can actually be figured out in this moment as we sit here together. Charles Spurgeon, he tells this story of a pastor. It's quite comical, actually. I really appreciate the story, and it's kind of like one of those humbling moments for pastors, because we're fun people, but we also make huge mistakes, as I'm sure you notice. But it's a story of a pastor whom he knew who had become converted suddenly in the midst of one of his own sermons. Boy, that's got to be super awkward, hey? You're preaching and you convert yourself and you finally see the light in that moment. But the pastor was much like the man who had been born blind. He had obeyed Christ. He had passed through considerable spiritual experience. He had witnessed for Christ. He'd even suffered to some degree. Nevertheless, he was not converted. One Sunday, as he was preaching, he was taken up with the truth of the gospel. He was so taken up with it, in fact, that it affected his normal mode of speaking, and he found himself declaring the truth concerning Christ's death with utmost conviction. The congregation began to notice the change, and at last a Methodist who was in the church shouted out, "The preacher is converted! Hallelujah!" The others said, "Well, we believe he is too." And the pastor stopped preaching and added, "I believe you are right. Something wonderful has happened to me. I do believe in Jesus." Then all together they stood and sang, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." Boy, oh boy. The question can be settled now. And it doesn't matter if you're a person that has the education and you went to school to be a pastor like me, or if you're brand new to this church. The question can be settled now, and it can be settled instantly. And if you're struggling to find an answer to the question, you can actually ask Jesus for help in regards to this. Look at how the healed man handled his answering of this question. After Jesus asked if he believed in the Son of Man, the man was trying to figure out whether or not he believed. John 9:36, "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus revealed in that moment that he is the Son of Man. John 9:37, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." And as a result, the man believed and he worshiped Jesus. Today, I pray that you turn to Jesus, the one who helped the blind man, and I pray that you seek an answer from him. He has helped you more than you realize already. Ask Jesus, "Jesus, who is the Son of Man, Lord, that I should believe in him?" And he will point to himself, and he will lead you to faithfully journey with him. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Let your heart, soul, and mind say, "Yes, I believe." Then tell someone else. That is what we are called to do. As I had the privilege of attending a saint's funeral this past week, I just felt so encouraged by just seeing someone so faithful towards Jesus, and you knew her answer to that question very clearly. "Yes, Lord, I believe." Sometimes death catches up to us suddenly. Sometimes it takes a long time. Don't wait for the last moment, because we don't know when the last moment's going to be. Instead, settle the question here and now. And then tell people about Jesus. I'm going to call the worship team up here as I pray. Lord, today we thank you so much for all that you do. And you know, we could be attending this church. We could be going through the motions. We could have been here forever. We could assume that we have been Christians for a long time. But until we answer the question, do you believe in the Son of Man? We are without. And so today, I pray that those who are questioning and looking for a Lord, that you make it very clear to them on who you are. And today we pray together, Lord Jesus, we believe on you. We believe that you are the Son of God. We believe that you're God in the flesh and that you came here to this earth and you died for us and you died in our place and you took our sin upon you and you brought us salvation. And today, I want you to be a part of my world. Jesus, let this be. And let me declare it to those around me, Jesus. Lord, we pray your praise and we worship you as the blind man did. And we know that you are the Son of God. Pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.